love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Yo, Nicole.
What's up, Rolando?
Do you have a TV show that you would watch and it would hurt you sometimes? Like, it would just let you, it would drop the ball and then you just continue to watch it. Maybe not a TV show for you because you're a movie, you prefer movies, right? So do you have a movie that you have seen that you wanted to love, right? You started liking it and then as the movie progresses, it gets worse. But you're just holding out to the end, thinking it's like, all right, maybe there'll be a payoff at the end. And then when there's not, disappointed.
First movie that came to mind was The Hateful Eight, because I was just like so excited for it with the script leak and him shooting on 70 millimeter. I was like, oh my God, or 65 millimeter. I forget which one it was. And it just disappointed me. It just was not as exciting as I thought it was going to be. And I was like, oh no, but this movie is going to be amazing. At some point, it's going to blow my socks off.
Mm-hmm. Did it start off amazing at least? Like, did it start at least? Did it pique
your beautifully interest? Shot. It was pretty well written in terms of dialogue. But other than that, it just did not meet my expectations. And it was actually kind of, kind of flat. Maybe controversial opinion there.
Okay.
What about, I feel like I know what you're insinuating for you, but...
for me, it was, there is a TV show that does that, right? One where I was in on the ride, loved it, starts off great, and then quickly loses steam. But I keep coming back each season because there's always that hope, that little hope inside of you is just like, oh, this season's going to be different. Because sometimes the cliffhangers would lead you to believe the show's going to be better. And then... Yeah. The show goes back to its old formulaic ways and you're left kind of disappointed to the very end. And you wonder, it's just like, you know, why did I spend 7 or 8 years on this show? This week, guys, we're talking about Dexter and the Showtime revival, Dexter, New Blood. And let me tell you guys, this is, I mentioned it last week if you listened all the way through, but this was a... this is like that girlfriend that always hurts you, but you can't go back to. This is that relationship for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't wait to spill the tea on this relationship, right? Because we had a bad breakup. We did. And I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, let's air out all that dirty laundry. Mm-hmm. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. All right, so Dexter, we got a pleasant surprise for our audience this week. It's not just Rolando and I. We are actually joined for the first time in a while by Eddie Z.
Has it been a while? When was the last time we were here for a full episode, I guess? A full episode.
Yeah, a full episode, a while.
Wow. Well, I'm back. I'm back, everybody.
It might have been Chucky, actually.
Yeah, Chucky. Yeah, I had a lot to say for Chucky.
There you go. So here we are in December, and the last time he was here was October. So
yeah, wow. And he's been living that busy life. I wish I knew what that busy life was. I'm his husband, and here I am also kind of drawing a blank. It's just like, what have you been doing?
Well, babe, oh my God. You know, everyone has their little secrets.
And this show proves that everyone has their little secrets. Excellent segue.
Yes, very nice. So did you guys watch the show when it first came out?
Yes, I watched this show when it first... Actually, this was one of the first shows that I remember, you know, when Netflix used to send out DVDs?
Yes.
So this is one of the first shows
that
we rented in my frat house, the first season. And then beginning season 2, we watched it live on air.
Oh, wow, look at that. And Eddie, you watched it live as it aired?
Yes, I did, but I wasn't a diehard fan. I would just kind of catch like series of episodes in a season and then just kind of stop. And then whenever it was on, I would just watch it. But so I never kept track like of a timeline for it.
Yeah, it's kind of same for me. At one point when I was like wanting to be on top of most television shows. I remember I got the pack, the DVD pack from the library. You know, remember when they used to sell the seasons as like season one of Dexter and stuff. The only way you could watch it was if you rented it. And maybe Blockbuster. I don't even know if Blockbuster was still a thing. Netflix was definitely a thing. But my go-to was my public library because it's free. So kids, go to your local library and support your local library. And I got the first season. I remember I watched it after, I think it was airing season 4 or 5. So I came to it really late.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I like watched the first season all the way through. And I never got season 2 from the library. I would watch it here and there on Showtime. And like people would like tell me, and then I would watch certain episodes with them. But other than that, after the first season, I kind of just didn't feel like going forward.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I had the opposite, where once we finished the first season, we had to know like where the story was going to keep going. And
you
know,
and that's how. And a lot of people are surprised by that because if you know me, you know that I'm not a person who's not into crime as a genre. You know, I like watching things about crime and true crime. I do like reading about and listening to things about true crime, or, you know, things that not a lot of other people might enjoy. But I'm not like a diehard fan of things like true crime or serial killers or anything like that, but I am more willing to indulge in that than other people. So I was even surprised because I'm like, oh, a show about a serial killer that I'm not really that into, huh? But you know, they're not all, they, you know, you can't love everything, as they say. So
right. This is true. Yeah, I can't, I'm kind of shocked by that, to be honest. But
well, I know it's based on a book series that I have not read.
The book series by Jeff Lindsay.
Which will come into be tongue in cheek in a little bit.
Yeah. And then the first book is Darkly Dreaming Dexter.
Yes.
Which actually, I believe the first season actually borrows a lot from the main plot.
Yeah, the first season is based on that book. And then the further books, not all, every season is based per book. You know, it's not like the second book is the second season. Like that. A lot of the show actually has its own original storyline. But I know that the first book is very much the first season.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, disclaimer, we've not read the books. We're solely judging the show. And I think
you're just making an assumption that I had never read the book.
Rolando, have you read this book?
No, I read the Marvel comics, though, because Marvel ended up having a limited run based off of the Dexter character.
Yeah, isn't there like, there's like tons of merchandise off
there
this
was
character,
I mean,
right?
Dexter became a pretty
hot commodity,
popular show for Showtime, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because that is like the era, it's like immediately after The Sopranos, and when all these networks needed to like, you know, compete with something like HBO, they all started making their like men who abuse power shows. Obviously, HBO had The Sopranos. AMC was a huge contender at one point when they had two. They had Breaking Bad and Mad Men. Netflix had House of Cards, you know. Like, every network had a show about, you know, a man abusing his power. And this was Showtime's show. This was Dexter. But it was a little different, you know. Showtime's always, like, a little off the beaten chain with their stuff.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, Dexter came out the year right before the final season of The Sopranos, right? Because I remember when we were watching it, we were waiting for the final season to drop, if I remember correctly. And then because season 2 kind of came out after the final season had already wrapped up for The Sopranos. Breaking Bad hadn't come out just yet, but I do remember
2007.
Yeah, I do remember when I started watching Breaking Bad, that was already kind of the marker for the end of Dexter kind of being good.
Look at that.
And there's like a correlation, right? Because Dexter, I think, has like this, it's interesting, right? It's like kind of smack there in the middle of like the golden age of television, it's called, right? Like the 2000s, right? Where we had just like a lot of these prolific TV shows. Dexter was kind of early on-ish, I think, right?
Yeah, I do want to back up, though. The golden age of television is actually the 1950s. That might be the silver age or something else, or they call it, like, I know they called it a renaissance, but...
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure
Technically speaking, the golden age of television is the 1950s.
The golden age of television, according to this Wikipedia article, is the 2000s to present. Although I think right now we're in peak TV.
That's interesting. I'd like to see this article because so, they're wrong if you look at Google.
Named in reference to the original Golden Age is 1950s. But yeah, no, a lot of people will refer to this as a new Golden Age of TV just because I the other term I've heard a lot is a lot of prestige TV.
Okay. That's
era that we're in.
I could hear that. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, whatever. Those terms are, that nomenclature means nothing, you know?
Well, yeah, technically. Like, well, it would be like saying the Golden Age of Hollywood was the 1980s. And that's like, that's just.
But to someone, it might wrong. Be.
Yeah, but we're talking about the ubiquitous, collective term that we all kind of use. And
I mean, you don't know
like
what
if you're
Zoomers
using
are
a term that other people are using yeah, wrong, like, then you're just confusing them.
I feel like that changes with the culture, right? Because Zoomers are going to probably be like, it's just like, ew. Like Casablanca, for example, I just was reading an article about like how Casablanca has lost its charm. Like no one cares for this movie anymore.
Well, that's because Casablanca is kind of an overrated film. If you even... Even me, who watches movies regularly from that time period, I still think, and I've always kind of thought that Casablanca was overrated.
Oh, well, there you go. Then you're part of the reason why it's lost its luster amongst a lot of critics.
I'm okay with that.
So, but anyway, I'm just saying.
But I don't know. I think by that logic, then you could say that it's whatever people deem it to be. Like the Renaissance wasn't, you know, Italy in the 1600s. It was totally Paris in the 1920s because that's what we say it is. Like by that logic, you could rename it to be anything. But that's like,
I guess it is. All right, fine. You got me there. That's fair. You win. You win on that argument.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But anywho, I definitely agree that this was a great time and like a really dynamic time for television because they started, you know, they weren't, what's that word? Like they weren't adhering to commercials, you know, like HBO and Showtime, they played more like films. And then all these other networks started adapting that feel to it. Like AMC, even though it did have commercials, they were treating all their shows cinematically. So that approach to television, and now to the point where television is competing downright with films. You know, it's like you get better quality sometimes on television than you do in films. It's because it's all digital. So it's all the same shit anyway. And Netflix too, right? So it's like they all kind of helped precede each other. I don't even know if there was any time that was Showtime's time. Maybe they had like 1 year where like Showtime was like number one.
I don't think they ever had. No, this is a way Showtime ever had.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But Showtime occasionally had shows that were good. And some of those shows that come to mind, Dexter mm-hmm. was popular is what I should say.
Yes.
And another show that comes to mind is Shameless. That one lasted
Shameless
like almost like what, 12
one.
Years, yeah. 12, 13 years.
Yeah, people love that show. Nurse Jackie. Yes. Yeah. Homeland.
That's another one. So that's another one where it was just like, it starts off great and then kind of just like fizzles
out. And then
it
loses it. Yeah. and The L Word, which is another one that starts off really good.
Queer as Folk.
Yes, Queer as Folk. Yeah. Let's give it a Showtime for, you know, like, putting stories that other networks will kind of drag their feet on.
Yeah, I would agree. You know? Right. Showtime was the quirky channel where mm-hmm. I feel like HBO would give you some like quality stuff.
A material versus like B material.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah. And Showtime was a little schlockier for that reason. And like, you know,
If HBO is showing shows. You about, you know, straight rich people, then, you know, Showtime's going to show you about gay people in Pittsburgh. So.
Right. Although that's not the case anymore right now, because now they both have a show that's about rich white people.
Billions, way to go, Showtime.
Billions. And what's the other one? Secession. And I have no idea which one's which.
Me neither. Yeah,
you could
don't
show me a
me.
Still from these and I'd be like, I don't know what is what.
So this show was one of the most successful commodities that Showtime's ever produced. It lasted for 8 seasons and all of them starring Michael C. Hall as the main character of Dexter Morgan.
Yes.
Dexter Morgan as a character, he pretty much adheres to the theory that you're kind of born a certain way, right? You have a gene. And I actually read a book like this, Defending Jacob, which was turned into an Apple TV series, where it was like, you actually can have a gene in where you want to murder people, right? That's what one of the things that this book puts forward is that some people are born with it.
Yes.
And Dexter Morgan was born with this trait within him. He has this thing within him that he calls... Oh man, I just said it earlier in the episode. The dark passenger. That pretty much calls to him to fulfill his homicidal tendencies.
Yeah. But he was, I think he also subscribes to the belief that he was created because he witnessed his mother being chainsawed by drug dealers.
Oh, so it's a really neutral nature versus nurture.
I think it's like the nature thing. Is in there, but like because as a baby, he witnessed his mom being chainsawed to death. Both he and his brother, guys, we're spoiling the shit out of first season. He and his brother witnessed their mother being chainsawed to death because of a drug deal gone bad in a... Oh, where were they? I think they were in an ice truck or maybe in a storage unit. And as a result, something in them both clicked and they both became homicidal, not maniacs, I guess. They were psychopaths, I guess. I forget the terminology. Psychopaths. Okay, psychopaths. Yeah. They were serial
homicidal
killers.
Homicidal psychopaths.
They both become serial killers. His brother grows up to become the ice box killer. And Dexter, who was raised by Harry, who was a cop, teaches him to kind of quell his homicidal tendencies. And if you're going to kill, gives him a set of rules to follow. Rule number one being don't get caught. And rule number two, I think, is like only kill those that deserve it.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of putting... So
be
it
a
gives,
vigilante almost.
Yeah, so Dexter becomes a vigilante. He has like a moral code that he kind of tries to follow as best he can. And that's kind of what makes him a unique serial killer, right? He's killing... Right from the first season, we learned that he kills, but he kills only people that deserve it. People who have at least killed themselves. And he himself works for Miami Metro... homicide department. He's a blood splatter analyst. He usually collects evidence that will exonerate people, but he knows that they're guilty, so he'll go and commit justice.
Yeah,
but he's really just fulfilling this like need that he has to murder.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, I guess. I mean, look, that's a pretty dope premise for a TV show, right? Like, you hear that. How do network execs not say, take our money, run with it?
Yeah, because, you know, you're constantly watching him have this, like, huge battle between his two lives. You know, he's mm-hmm. living a double life. Who he really is or who, you know, he can't be openly. And then his public life. Mm-hmm. Since he is works in forensics, he has a lot of people in his life, you know, that are really can easily find out who he really is, amongst them being his sister, Deborah, who's, I think, one of the major characters throughout the entire series.
Yes. If it's Dexter, then Deborah, who is his adopted stepsister. Mm-hmm. She is the biological daughter of Harry. She is herself a cop in Miami Metro-Dade police force. And she is... I don't know. She has like a potty mouth is what I remember her. Like she used to say like fucktards and like fuck me. Like that kind of stuff. Like yeah, she was funny.
She also like has terrible luck with men. Something like that.
She does have terrible luck with men. From having daddy issues, she ends up sleeping with a FBI agent who looks a lot like her father, which was kind of creepy. Gross. But it gets creepier because later on in the series, she realizes she's in love with Dexter. So I don't know. which if you guys know or don't know, I'm telling you right now that apparently step sibling porn is like one of the most sought after porn in the United States.
God, the thanks more you for know, sharing right? that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, and I feel like Dexter is to blame.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean? Because like Deborah had like this major lady boner for her brother. And, like, she did things as the series progressed that become very uncharacteristic to her character that was developed in the seasons prior. So I have a huge beef with... So...
Okay.
Can I just get into it right now?
Please. I mean, spoilers, guys.
My major beef with this show is not just the treatment of women, because that sounds so high-minded, but it boils down to a little bit of the treatment of the women, female characters here. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh my God, like the way they treat women is awful. It's the way they treated these characters that happen to be specific women in this show. That is really what was the biggest disservice to the show. Deborah being number one. Deborah very much saw the world as black and white. And the moment she found out that her brother was a serial killer, I just don't think that she would have done everything in her power to protect him and like to work with him. It just seems so out of character. This, and as after that, right? Those are like the final three seasons where she's like kind of helping him cover up and like kind of learning to accept his like his killer ways, and even going so far as to actually killing another important female character into the show. That like I was just like, okay, this isn't Deborah though. And they're making her boy crazy. The reason she's doing all this, as they're explaining, is because she's in love with her brother. You know? So it's annoying. It was so annoying because I just feel like Deborah should have found out about Dexter, and that should have introduced a brand new storyline where it could have been a cat and mouse game of Deborah hunting down Dexter. They never did that. And as a result, the show suffered for it greatly. The show always returns to this like, oh, Dexter is always just living this secret life. But like, it started getting to the point where it was just like not making any sense anymore. And part of that was when Deborah found out and she didn't do anything about it.
I wonder if they were trying to say that, you know, sometimes you'll find yourself doing things that you would never think you would do for the people that you love, for the people that you feel deeply for, because at the end of the day, that's her brother, and you know she cares for this person. Have you ever had that conversation with yourself where you're like, oh, if I found out, you know, my significant other or my sibling or something was this, how would I respond to that? You know, it's hard because we always say too, like, oh, she would never, but like, we've also never been in situations like that where we got tested to see, you know, how we would stand by someone or if we would.
Yeah. And
I know I can't say I never would. So it's interesting because in that way, I kind of applaud them for making her go so uncharacteristically. Oh my God. When the door behind me opened, I was like, who is that? But it was the cat. I applaud them for doing that because I think that sometimes people, you know, they are like, they appear to be one thing, black and white, and this is how they work. And then something just huge in their life happens and they find themselves acting out of character. Like, I think that's a pretty normal thing to happen to people in their lives. And they went in that way. You know, but people do act uncharacteristically when something traumatic or huge happens. I'll applaud them or play devil's advocate to you for Deborah going in that direction.
I'm okay with that being the case for one season, but for doing it for three seasons is kind of where I'm just like, okay, like, you could have added some conflict. Even when LaGuerta, now here's the other beef I have with the show, right? LaGuerta was a strong Hispanic female character. She was, I think she ends up becoming not the chief of police, but whatever, a lieutenant or something. And she ends up being the one to figure out that Dexter is the Bay Harbor Butcher and that he framed her friend Doakes in season two. And when she finally gathers all this evidence, right, this becomes like the cat and mouse game that I kind of have been wanting for a while. And what happens? He ends up like framing her to make it look like she planted that evidence, which she didn't. And looking crazy. But then she catches him in the act. Oh, I think he decides to kill her because she is catching on to him and like she's implicated Deborah, and he decides to protect Deborah. He's gonna kill her, thus breaking his code, right? And that's when Deborah, it comes down to the season finale where Deborah, it literally comes to the room and he's about to kill LaGuerta, and she has a gun pointed and she's deciding who she's gonna kill. Is she gonna kill Dexter or is she gonna kill LaGuerta? And she decides to kill LaGuerta. And I was just like, I know she was going to kill Dexter, but she could have arrested Dexter and they could have worked together. And that could have been the set of for the final season again, being where my beef with Dexter is that he never paid the price for his crimes because he is at the end of the day still a criminal, right? There was no justice. Absolutely. It doesn't matter if he was killing bad guys. He was still killing, right? He was still committing murder. So I feel like there needed to be a season where he needed to pay. There needed to be retribution. And I don't mean in the sense of killing his wife. That's not paying for his crimes, right? That's not balancing. I mean like actual justice, right? No. And that's where the show kind of lost me. So there was like one of the worst final seasons of a show ever. It was the worst series finale. And Dexter abandons his child to another serial killer. And I'm just like, father of the year, man. Father of the fucking year.
Well, what I agree with you, you know, definitely in theory, like, yeah, like why are we wanting this guy to constantly get away with murder? Like, murder at the end of the day is, it's a terrible thing. There's no way to kind of justify it. I mean, maybe in like a couple of instances, but very few. Mm-hmm. Like self-defense and all that stuff. And not only does he get away with it, yeah, but like other people, innocent people have to be harmed, you know, on his behalf. Like, the big thing about this show is the season 4 finale, I believe. Where
season 4, yes. You're talking about his wife?
Yes, where the murder of his wife.
Yes.
You know, and then his child pretty much laying down the foundation for becoming him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the it repeating another generation, you know, like, his poor wife has to die for him, you know? And like you said, like, oh, is that supposed to be, like, him getting any sort of retribution? And if that is, that's totally a fucking, that's totally unfair.
No, yeah, no, totally, 100%.
Because he did, I mean, he's fine. He keeps doing what he's got to do anyway.
Yeah, so, in season 4...
I think that's also the only thing I was going to say is I think that's why I kind of left the show, because the show didn't really have any moral compass behind it, that like a real moral compass. They claim that Dexter himself has it, but I didn't really see any of that from the writing of the show. And I wasn't down with it. I was like, this isn't fun. I'm not rooting for this guy.
Mm-hmm. And that's yet. I kept coming back to root for him because I will say this is because of the performances, right? Because this show, despite its bad writing, sometimes gave some of the best performances. Dexter, Michael C. Hall as Dexter, is his best when he's playing that unhinged and he's about to murder someone. Like, that is, he's such a good actor that it gave us some of the best performances from John Lithgow for season 4 when he played the Trinity Killer. Who else did we get? We got some over-the-top campy performances from Jimmy Smits in season 2. You know, like, that's what I will say, like, this is part of the reason why I kept coming back to the show. And that's also part of the reason why I watched this revival. And it reminded me very early on, like, oh, I forgot what made Dexter so good. And that is Michael C. Hall. Michael C. Hall is the best thing to come from Dexter, right? Like, I think his performance is so, it's so gripping, like, sometimes, like, specifically when he's trying to kill someone. I mean, it helps that he has that Neanderthal, I will kill you look, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which some find sexy. I'm in that camp.
I'm not.
And, Dexter, the original series, is just such a flawed show. And when they introduced Julia Stiles as Lumen, talk about killing this show. Like, I don't know why I don't like Julia Stiles at all.
And, well, like, that's a personal thing, man.
It is a personal thing, but, like, I feel like this show only solidified that more. Because I didn't like her already. And then when I was watching her, I'm just like, oh, you're really ruining this show. And
I really don't like you. Yeah.
And now, and not just that, but like the writing was also so terrible that it was just like, it was awful. This show, I don't know. Like, sometimes I judge myself for going back to watch it and just saying, it's just like, oh, they're going to change something, but they don't. And like the original run of the show was just like, I can't anymore. Like,
so wait, would you say this is a guilty pleasure?
The only guilt I feel is watching it, though. I don't know if I find pleasure.
Oh, so there was not even any pleasure.
No, there was. Up until season 4, the show was a very enjoyable show. But once they killed off Rita, the show lost its footing, right? The show lost. The show didn't know where it was going to go.
Unhinged. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? I would say,
and then, like,
you know,
falling in love with all these blondes. It was just like, okay. So Rita wasn't that important to your life, I guess.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about jumping the shark. And I think that this is one of the most famous recent cases of a show jumping the shark, because I think it's pretty, even if you've not watched Dexter, you know about the fans' outrage and where the direction the show went in.
Yeah.
And when we did our Sopranos episode and we talked about the way that show ended, how it was polarizing. But, you know, I think as over time, people have actually realized that it was a very fitting way to end the show. Mm-hmm. I think only over time people have gotten more and more angry with how Dexter has ended.
Yeah.
Did you watch that live? Like, how did you feel?
I was furious. I was so mad. First, for a couple of things, right? This show at this point already had a history of killing off major female characters. Mm. So killing off Deb was kind of a dirty move, especially when like she survived the gunshot wound, like the episode prior, and like they're just like telling us like, okay, no, it's fine. She's in the hospital. Everything's gonna go fine. She's gonna go into surgery. He kills a bad guy. The cops are cool with it because we're gonna pretend like it's self defense, you know, because he shot one of our own. And when he comes back, she's dead, right? She had the surgery didn't go well, so she died. So he feels guilty. So he decides to like, she's actually not dead. She's in a vegetative state.
Yeah.
So he takes her corpse and he dumps her in the ocean during a hurricane.
Right? Jesus.
And then he just floats away into the hurricane. And Hannah, who is his now girlfriend, who herself is a serial killer, and is waiting for him in Argentina with his son, finds out in the newspaper that Dexter Morgan is dead. I don't know why he was in the news, but for some reason. That's how she finds out that he has died. So now she's stuck raising this child. It's not hers. Mind you, I remember watching them just like, what? Of all people to leave your child with, you're going to leave him with another serial killer? Like, why would you do that? And then you want to kick us in the ball some more? He survives because the final shot is him in some lumberjack yard, like being all dour. This show, this fucking series finale was my friends, I think we had a watch party. We were watching it together. We were so fucking angry. We were so angry.
Do you think it's like, did that show go through numerous showrunners? Do you think it was just bad writing?
Great
too much
question.
Interference?
I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know. You know, I'm not one of those fanboys who like reads into that kind of stuff, right?
I see. Okay. Well, I mean, it would have been useful for the podcast, but yeah. I mean, I do think that concise writing at this point should be admired, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's like really famous and has a lot of, you know, popularity that is just not very, like, I have to use the word concise. Like, what were they thinking? They had so many loose ends, you know, they went into so many different directions. They started things and then they didn't, like, they planted things. Did they, you know, properly address them? And did they have their closures? You know, like, that's just kind of what you're taught in school of how to write.
Right.
And it's crazy when you see how much is put out there and greenlit and set out into the world that doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of frustrating because you're like hammered that into school. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like athletes who use steroids, right? It's like, wait a minute, I thought we weren't supposed to do that. That kind of also feels like cheating. Like people who just kind of write without actually thinking about what the fuck they're writing or the story that they're telling.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what Dexter seemed to be. And I think that's why, one, you know, people were so angry about the way that the show ended. But two, it almost kind of needed this revival to appease the reputation that Dexter had amongst its fans. Almost needed it.
Did it?
No, not at all.
When the revival was announced, I think me and I immediately texted my group of friends that we were the ones who started watching this together.
Yeah.
We were just like, how fucking dare they? How fucking dare they bring Dexter back after he hurt us? He hurt us so much. Why would they do this? Yeah. And I asked them the question. It was like, are you guys going to watch? And I think only half of us said maybe.
Wow.
And then the other half was just like, no.
Wow. Right?
And that tells you like how bad of a taste the original Dexter left in our mouth.
Yeah.
And I didn't vote in that one because I was just like, well, I think I'm going to have to because of the podcast. So that's not fair. Would I?
Do you want to blow up your spot? I don't know. Should I blow up your spot?
Go ahead. Blow it up.
You actually removed something from the calendar so that we could discuss Dexter.
Right. Because I think I wanted to air my grievances.
Ah, yes. You needed this to be therapy.
I needed to scream about why Dexter hurt me so much, so many times.
I get that.
You know what I mean? Absolutely, it's closure. Yeah. I wanted some closure. And I had my closure with this podcast, but they decide, it's like, no, but we're going to give you more, Dexter. So here we are, 2021. I almost said 2022. Mm-hmm. 2021. Dexter, New Blood. Yeah. We're almost here. And yeah. Kick it off. Showtime.
Yeah. It's showtime, folks. Do you know what that's a reference to? by any chance?
The Mask?
No, I think maybe The Mask was referencing this film. It's All That Jazz. I know you saw it recently. But every time the drugs would kick in, you know, because he had that thing in the morning, he would always take it. And every time the drugs kicked in, he'd be like, it's showtime.
Really? I remember him taking the drugs every morning. I don't remember him saying, it's showtime.
Yeah, after to end that little sequence, he would always say that. And like, that was like the drugs kicking in. At least that's how I read it. Anyway, so so the drugs kicking in for Dexter New Blood. So this, as far as I'm concerned, is a one miniseries thing, right? It's just going to be a 10 episode arc where they, you know, try and finish off the story of Dexter. But of course, if this show gets rave reviews and a lot of viewers, I'm sure there's going to be a second season. But as of now, Dexter New Blood is a one season miniseries revival of Dexter.
Correct. As far as we know, it is supposed to be a one season miniseries.
So the show picks up 10 years after the series finale, where he left to go be a fucking lumberjack, right? But the show ended with him being a lumberjack, I think, in like the Northwest.
Yeah, I think the implication is that he's traveled around, like, figuring out until he settled into a life of, mundanity.
I guess so. He pretty much, you know, he decided that he wanted to go to the Northeast, into New York, particularly about the Seneca Falls region, you know, the Finger Lakes, and be a lumberjack there. And his new identity is Jim Lindsay, which is a reference to the author of the books, Jeff Lindsay.
Yeah. How nice is that?
Yeah. Oh, so cute.
I'm sure Jeff is so happy. He don't care. He just wants that paycheck. He's just like, good. Royalties, bitches.
And the life of Jim Lindsay is actually that of a very simple, quiet life, which, you know, movies love to do this, where it's like a person who's been through a lot of shit will give it all up and romanticize the simple life, you know, where it's just like, get a job at your local store, know everybody in town. Mm-hmm. You know, the big thing is getting to the bar and like dancing with everybody. It's like straight out of almost like a Frank Capra movie. Yeah. Since when, Dexter went to go live in a Norman Rockwell painting? Okay. Yeah. So he works at a gun store. I guess it's a gun store, right?
It is. It's like an ammo shop. I think it's like a hunting gear. Hunting gear, yeah.
He's also, you know, he helps some of the local people out. He helps sharpen the knives of the local butcher. He's dating the sheriff. Is she the sheriff?
She is the sheriff. The sheriff of the town. She is a indigenous person.
Yes, she is.
And as a result, she herself has a duality, right? Where she has to, you know, she works for the townsfolk, like the town itself, but she also, as a member of the reservation, has like this kind of connection that, like, kind of, you know, I don't want to say, is that, how do I say this? It's just like there, she has to, she's kind of caught in the middle of two worlds, it seems, right? Yeah. Where she has her, you know, she has a duty, but she also has, you know, to look out for her people sometimes, right? And part of her looking out for her people is she is in the middle of trying to solve this constant string of missing girls, missing women.
Yes. So, yeah, she has that duality in her life, and that will come actually into play within the storyline of the show. Other than that, she has an adopted daughter, too.
Oh, that's right. She does have an adopted daughter, which I thought was random, because I thought it was at first bad casting. I was just like, okay, this girl is clearly white. And then they explained it, so she's adopted. I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And that's the thing. You find out all the information slowly but surely throughout the episodes of this. So, you know, it doesn't like, you know, be like, Dexter's now living here and it's been 10 years and he's doing this. Like, you slowly are finding this out.
Right.
So two things happen within the first episode that kind of, you know, completely throw his life into disarray, because for 10 years, he's a former serial killer. You know, he gave it all up. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not who I want to be. And I just want to live a quiet, simple, normal life without any of this bullshit. Because, you know, for 8 seasons, my life was chaotic and I don't want chaos anymore.
Yeah. He went cold turkey.
Everything is going great. Yeah, he went cold turkey. He's going great. You know, he hallucinates his dead sister in his mind. But which other than that, he's doing great, right? You know.
Oh, which reminds me. The new girl.
Oh, yeah, that tea. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm going to say, well, yeah, we'll talk about that tea. But the new girl, his new girlfriend, right? Looks a lot like Deborah, right?
I would say so.
I think so much. Like, it was like, sometimes eerie. It was just like, ew, like, gross, man. Yeah, boning. And she's a cop.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting that he gets such hot women.
Well, he's kind of a hot man, though. So.
I guess. I don't know. I personally don't see it, but I also am like, do none of them even suspect that he's a murderous psychopath? But I guess not a lot of people thought that about Ted Bundy, so I kind of answered my own question. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so two things happen. One, he meets a fucking dipshit of a human being in this episode where this guy comes and is like trying to pressure him into selling him a gun and just treats everyone in his life like they don't fucking matter. And like he's, you know, the shit and everybody else is stupid.
Because
he's rich. He finds out that this man was responsible for killing 5 people in a boating accident because of his stupid, precious ego and his toxic masculinity. Just like
and being drunk and on drugs.
Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, all the things that a 2021 person would be down with killing a person for.
I mean, I don't disagree with you because I think I was watching it. I'm just like, God, I hope this is the one that Dexter does kill first. Right. They were building you up. They were really laying the foundation. The only thing they could have done to make you want him to absolutely die is just like, I'm also a white supremacist, is just be like, okay,
right? Well, to me, it was like, what is this guy gonna do? Kill an animal? And then he went and he killed an animal, and that right there was like, okay, well, you're killing a defenseless thing. You know, it's like pick on someone your own size. Like people who kill animals, I feel like are actually, I don't like people who kill animals. I don't like that.
Wait,
it's not cool.
But Dexter kills humans.
I don't like people who commit atrocities to other people, to other living beings. I'm not the biggest fan of that.
Okay.
For sport or for your own fucking weird toxic reasons. Mm-hmm. Just not a fan of it.
Okay.
So it was like, oh, he's a dipshit and he treats everyone like shit and he thinks, you know, the world revolves around him. You know, it's like the worst thing he could have done in my eyes was kill an animal, and then bam, he kills an animal. So of course Dexter, even though he's a fucking murderer, it's like, you killed an animal, and then proceeds to kill him.
So you're saying that you can forgive murder, but you draw the line at animal cruelty.
No, like I don't like a person when they are cruel to animals. Yeah. That's like, to me, like, no, I don't think you're a good person.
Right. Okay.
No, but I'm saying that also, I felt like the show was kind of pandering to a 2021 sensibility in the sense where it's like, yeah, isn't he such an asshole, man? He's like shitty to women. He's bad to his friends. He's a toxic masculinity, you know, like,
I mean,
it's more like,
that's a good observation because I think they had a lot more wokeness in this show. Like literally, like they have. So the chief's daughter, the white girl, she herself is like kind of an activist, right? Against like the global impact that this like magnet oil tycoon is having in the world. And, you know, and to your point, yeah, they literally build this one guy out to be like the most toxic version of a man imaginable in the year 2021, you know? So
he has almost no redeeming qualities. Mm-hmm. So, and they wanted you to be like, yeah, Dexter, give up your 10-year celibacy for murder and kill this dipshit, you know.
Celibacy.
And then something else, I don't know what the term is.
What's the one, like sobriety?
You would say sobriety?
Abstaining. Oh, abstaining, yes.
Abstinence. Yes, thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie C. Yes, for those who forgot, he's here because he's so quiet. and also,
just correcting us.
Surprise, surprise, at the end of the episode, he gets a knock on the door and it's his son looking for Dexter Morgan, right? He even thought to find his father who might be alive, you know, that they explain that throughout the episodes. So these two things completely upend his life, his quiet life as Jim Lindsay, and everything that we knew in the eight seasons of Dexter, where these two lives are now, you know, threatening to expose one another and throw everything off, is starting to play out in the next couple of episodes.
Wait, I just want to correct you real quick. You said at the end of the episode, his son appears, but that's not, it's his son appears in the middle of the episode, like towards the middle. It's when he at the end is actually, like, so he lied to his son, saying, so he's just like, no, I'm not Dexter. You got the wrong man. Get out.
That's right. Yeah. And he's like,
is him,
you're right,
him
I am
up
your
saying,
dad.
I am Dexter Morgan, him accepting. Yeah. It's just like, okay, which is more important because like that is what ultimately will set up the rest of the season.
This is true because also
his son.
Because Deborah, who he hallucinates in his mind, is like, no, you can't let him back into your life because that's going to open the door to all the things that you wanted to run away from and that brought all this misery into your life before. And, you know, she's right. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But he couldn't turn his back on his son. And more importantly, he felt like he couldn't turn his back on who he was, which is a murderous psychopath. So he opened those doors. And now, you know, that's why we have new blood.
Yeah. I got to say, it was pretty satisfying seeing him kill, though. Again, it's... For me, it was like, again, like that scene when like he's like his monologuing to like the guy that he's about to murder. It reminded me of just like, this is actually what I loved about Dexter to begin with. Like this performance, this like kind of unhinged Michael C. Hall, who I think would make like a great Marvel or DC villain if given the chance. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's such a great, he gives such a good, like, crazy performance, like psychopathic performance, and I was here for it.
You know, the one thing that I will like say that I think is good about Dexter is that it kind of calls out the bloodlust that we all have within us. You know, for since the dawn of man, I feel like human beings have always experimented in their bloodlust, whether it's, you know, the Colosseum with those gladiator fights to the deaths, or the fact that we're constantly in war, right? It's almost like we have bloodlust. And that show kind of calls us out. It's like, the reason why you love this show so much and why you're okay with it in the name of, you know, a vigilante murder is because you want to see someone die. Mm. Right? That's why some people also are like, want to hear the details of a true crime podcast or something, you know, like us trying to get to the things that we're afraid of or that we shouldn't be. And it, so it calls out that part about human nature, which is unpleasant and we don't really want to admit about ourselves. And that's why I think the show lasted as long as it did and people wanted it back. And even you said like, I enjoyed that part of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, like I thought it was one of the more satisfying parts of it. And I would agree with you. And that's, I think, one of the things that I will definitely always appreciate about Dexter, because it's like, what am I going to do? Lie? And it's like, no, I don't approve of that stuff. It's like, no, it's calling people out. And it's like, yeah, you're right. People want to see this shit.
It's so true. That's what I do want to see.
Yeah. So,
and no lie.
So also the one thing that New Blood sets up is that, of course, you can't have a Dexter season without a simultaneous other serial killer.
Of course.
And there is a simultaneous serial killer who is taking runaway women and locking them in a room and watching them and, you know, for his own kinks or whatever, and then killing them. And should we spoil this? Yes, I got to see who it was.
Oh, you don't know. Wait, we know who it is? I'm like five episodes in and I don't know who it is. I mean, I think I know who it is, but it's
oh, you don't know who it is?
It's a rich guy's father, right? Like, the implications are pretty damn big. Okay, yeah.
It's his father.
We never saw him. I don't think we've seen him until like maybe the most recent episode.
Then I guess I saw more than you.
Oh, wait, what episode are you on?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was episode 5.
Oh, I'm still behind. I'm behind one episode. Okay, so it's confirmed. All right, no, I kind of figured it was him. Like, the show, I mean, again, this is the flaw of Dexter. Like, sometimes the writing is just not that good. Like, they kind of, I figured out, me and Eddie figured out it was him at the end of the second episode when he's praised, or third episode, when he's like all happy that like his son is alive, right? After putting a big, like, shit show for, you know, not looking for him, because the cop said, we're gonna go hunt down, sorry guys, we're spoiling the shit out of you, but they said they're gonna go look in the mines, and I'm assuming that's where he buries the bodies, right? And so that's why he was just like, oh, my son came back to me, don't worry guys, search is over, right? So I kind of figured, just like, oh, that's what's happened, so it's clearly you. So yeah, I figured it out.
Well, I thought it was him simply because
he's white.
With bringing Harrison back and having Harrison kind of be this whole like thing that goes full circle from Dexter to now his son, and the pattern will repeat, there seems to be a mirror within a father and son thing between, you know, the murder victim. What was his name? Matt?
I think Matt. That sounds right.
And his father, right? So how, you know, you kind of see that Dexter himself reflected in there. And I think there is going to be some sort of mirror reflection. And there's, I think somehow he's going to know, or he's going to play with Dexter, because he does also seem to be toying with Jim Lindsay, a.k.a. Dexter.
Uh-huh.
You know, he like lies like, oh, yeah, my son reached out to me. And
yeah,
Dexter's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just burned his body in the incinerator, right. But okay.
Which also, I guess, it reminds me. So I thought initially it was going to be like the oil tycoon, because that's not the same guy. But it's not. So I'm just wondering, was he just a red herring? Was he going to have like a payoff later? Like he's in on the crime too. Like it's a syndicate of guys, rich guys, just murdering people out in the woods.
Because also how does this hunter douchebag afford all of that high end equipment? You know, so.
Yeah. So agreed. So there we go. That's the other thing. But the other major storyline that's happening though, if you're watching the show, is that Harrison himself is exhibiting these serial killer tendencies that Dexter himself struggled with. And so the dilemma that Dexter is having with Deb, who's really his subconscious, is just like, do I encourage it or do I get a handle on it? You know? And Deborah is just there screaming. She's like, don't do it. She's crying, being all super emotional. I'm going to give a round of applause to this actress here, Jennifer Carpenter, because she's giving her all as Dexter's subconscious. They are making her do some wacky ass shit. And I'm here for it because God only knows how I knew that's how they want to bring her back. Right. Because she died in the series. Unless we're going to undo everything. Like, so I knew she had to play the new Harry, but I didn't know that they were going to go kind of wacky with it, but I love it. And also, I guess it saves Jennifer Carpenter having that much screen time with her ex-husband, because they went through a pretty bitter divorce during the run of Dexter. So
yeah, isn't that crazy?
I know.
Like, they fall in love on set and then they divorce and they have to play brother and sister. Like, oh my God, I would never wish that.
Then they also set up the storyline that's like, you're falling in with your brother. It's just like, oh my God, that fucking sucks. Like I'm pretty sure as they were divorcing or separating is when that storyline was playing out.
Wow.
I know.
Actually, apparently though, they're actually friends. So
are they? That's nice. No. I know he was also going through like cancer. I assumed, honestly, I thought he was going through like a midlife crisis because he was diagnosed with like some cancer. And so it kind of seemed like a very speedy romance, right? Like, I think he was just thought maybe he's like going to die. So it's just like, he wants to experience love. And so they got married real quick. And then that kind of like, when he survived, it's like, ah, shit, I made a mistake.
You know now I mean? We have to, Well, they eloped too. So it was all very... See? Yeah, so there you go.
I wonder why. I'm just saying, I have my own conspiracy theories as to what's happening there. Says the guy who said, I'm not a fan who likes to read behind the scenes drama. I was all about that drama, though.
Well, I mean, that's way more scandalous, so.
Yeah, it's a good kind of drama.
Yeah. But yeah, I think overall the writing so far, they seem to have a set story. Mm-hmm. I think they have more limited time to tell it, which I think is always benefits you.
Yes.
And I think that they're doing a good job so far. It doesn't feel like the old like mess of what the hell are they doing? Do they even know what they're doing? Kind of writing style that the original Dexter had.
Right. No, I agree with you.
I think this whole thing is setting us up for Harrison pretty much becoming the next Dexter. That's what I'm calling right now. Like him and his father, Dexter, is going to be now a Harry to Harrison.
I get it. I wonder if it... Yeah, that's how he was named after his father.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I just remembered that, yeah.
I wonder... Do you think you could turn this, like... Not a Dexter show, right? If you're going to focus on just Harrison and call it Harrison, do you think it could work on the CW like a sexy teen drama?
I don't know. You should definitely pitch it.
I should, right? I would have, like, that's the pitch right there. It's just like, okay, great. We did a great first season of Dexter. And let's wrap that up. But now we're going to just focus on the teen and we're going to make it a sexy teen thriller like Riverdale.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the CW would be like, take our money, go run with it right now.
So why do you think they brought this show back?
You know, I was wondering that as I was watching it. And I wish I knew. I think part of it is what you mentioned before. It's just like, okay, we really dropped the ball on this. And you know what? Like, a lot of shows are getting like revived and given like a second chance. Maybe we could right the wrongs of the past. And to like what you said, right, where I think there's a lot more competency in this show that I wasn't expecting. And it's kind of been a nice surprise for me to kind of like go each episode and be like, every episode I'm on edge. I'm just on edge, ready for it to drop the ball and like piss me off. Ask Eddie. He knows I'm constantly pausing it. Be like, I hope they don't do this and they don't do it. I'm just like, oh, thank God. Thank God.
I spend most of my time just being like slap, like, you know, snapping my fingers like this, like, you know, like, don't get caught, don't get caught. Oh my God, he's going to get caught. I think he's going to get caught right here.
Yeah.
So it's giving me that cat and mouse game that I've been dying for this series to have, right? Like someone, like, and maybe because, I think that's what makes the show a lot more fun here, because he has admitted he's kind of lost his edge. And as a result, he's making mistakes. He's not that perfect serial killer. So that lends itself to way more conflict. That feels much more organic, right? Like him driving around trying to like look for all those blood spots was chaotic. And it felt so, as he's trying to have a conversation with his son, his estranged son, you know what I mean? Like it's giving me family drama. It's giving me serial killings. It's giving me true crime. But to answer your question as to like, why do I think they brought it? I really think it's just because they're realizing shows are having success reviving their property if they can address the flaws of the past and kind of like correct the ship, right? I'm trying to think of what's a good example, something that we covered that kind of had to do that. Does anything come to mind?
Halloween
is a movie. Yeah, that's a good example. I was thinking of a series. Will and Grace, I think, would be
a good example
for a show, right? Where like a lot of, you know, the final couple of seasons were kind of like a little bit wonky between Harry Connick Jr. and Grace. I don't know what was happening by the end of the series, but they kind of steered the ship into a new direction and kind of gave everyone like a new ending, right? So I think that's kind of more or less what's happening here. They're kind of just like, okay, this is how the show ended, but let's give it a proper ending, because I think it's what Dexter needed, like a proper ending that doesn't piss off everyone. I don't care for the fact that like Hannah was kind of killed off screen, and I kind of do hope that like she will make a guest appearance as like just like, surprise, I'm here and I'm gonna kill you because you made me raise your fucking child. And you know what, she deserves that. She deserves her justice for Hannah. All right, let me fucking tell you.
Justice for Hannah, yeah.
I mean, no, just straight up, justice for all the fucking women from Dexter. Justice for fucking Deborah. Justice for fucking La Guerta. Justice for fucking Hannah, not Lumen.
For Rita.
And justice for Rita.
Yeah, poor woman. Well, actually, so I asked the question, but surprisingly enough, you know, Showtime was more than aware of how much people hated the finale.
Were they?
Yeah. And over time, Michael C. Hall was constantly asked, you know, like, would you do a follow up to the show? You know, like people were like, come on, that couldn't have been the ending, right? And so there was an original showrunner named Clyde Phillips who was with the show up until season 4, kind of when the show jumped.
Oh, when the show took a shitter.
Mm-hmm. And he was also, he was somewhat asked, but he, you know, he saw pretty much the reputation of what happened to the show. So when Showtime, you know, approached him in 2019, he said yes. And he's actually the person who wrote the original script and came up with, you know, the new show of where Dexter went. Uh-huh. And I think that he actually wrote, he said he wrote the show backwards. He thought of the ending and wrote the show from there.
Mm-hmm.
He worked backwards, and he's going on quote saying the ending of this one will be stunning, shocking, surprising, unexpected, and without jinxing anything, I will say that the ending of this new season that we're doing will blow up the internet.
Okay.
So I do think that one, you know, they're trying to completely redeem their show and their reputation with this. But two, I also, it's like, is the goal to blow up the internet, right? Like, why do we tell stories?
Mm.
Like, is that actually something that they should be aiming for? Why don't not just tell a good story? But at the end of the day, Dexter, the reason why it works or the reason why it has such a fan base is because it is shocking. It's because it is surprising. It is because it always like makes a sudden left turn. And it is kind of like supposed to be gross and all that stuff. And I don't know. It's like, to me, it's kind of like, I'm kind of, as a goal, as an end game, I don't know. I he kind of lost me with that.
I will
it was
say,
just like, where's the desire to just simply do a tell a story? Why do you have to blow up the fucking internet?
Yeah, fine. I agree with you with like blowing up the internet necessarily shouldn't be a goal, right? But I do think figuring out what the ending of this limited run series is going to be is much more important, and working your way back, right, is that's actually that's a good place to be. In terms of why are they looking for that internet breaking ending, I think part of it might be because some of the best endings to seasons feel like they have that kind of like, oh my god, fucking moment, right? The Rita death scene is probably one of those biggest like internet breaking moments. And that's early internet age. You know what I mean? Like when Rita was dead, how it I don't remember. I actually, in retrospect, I don't remember how it makes sense into the storyline. Like how did the Trinity Killer have time to kill her? There was a lot going on. She was going on a fucking trip, you know? But anyway, he did. How long was Harrison in that puddle of blood for? I don't know. So many questions left unanswered, right? But it doesn't matter, because I think they got to that ending kind of by accident. They wanted to do something shocking and it worked, but they didn't know how to resolve it.
Yeah, here, exactly. Isn't that what kind of ruined them?
Yes, but in here, if they know that this is going to be the ending, if this is what they're planning for, just a one season hit, and they know this is how it's going to be, and working your way backwards, that might be the smart, that I think it's a smart thing to do. And I think, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm not, you know, is this my last time of turning to this lover and saying, is it like, you've not hurt me. Thank you. You're finally going to make it to the very end.
And I have the closure I needed. Yeah.
Yes, but then she's going to die on me because like the show won't come back anymore. But like,
I see. That estimate, would you say that this new blood was needed?
I mean, I'm shocked to say this, but yeah, this one was so needed only because of how bad the original one left such a bad taste in my mouth that I was just I'm left. Again, I was so hesitant going back to watching this one, and yet I came out at the end of each episode, I'm just like, oh, okay, I like this. What do you think?
So it's interesting because the reason is because they want to redeem that. And we're in the day and the age too, where we can revisit these properties and try and like redefine our reputations. And part of me is like, should we be constantly letting these shows give themselves a second, sometimes even third chance? But you know, there's other fans out there that wanted it, and that's what matters. I didn't want it. I didn't care for it. But with what I got, I can see this, the writing is much more concise, right? I see what Clyde Phillips, the showrunner, original showrunner who brought this back and who wrote the first episode and the final episode, I can see where he's going and what he wants to do with it. And he has a set story that he wants to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always for that, you know, character and story first in a television show. And not in a movie. And and yeah, I actually like I was not looking forward to this episode. I'll be completely honest. I was like, I did not, you know, I stopped watching Dexter for a reason. It just wasn't my thing. I was like, do I have to really watch this shit? Right. And I watched it and I was like, oh, that wasn't terrible. I think I'll watch another. So it's enough to actually be like, you know what, Dexter wasn't that bad. And they got their wish granted in that case. So.
Well, the original Dexter was that bad. It is
the original
bad
Dexter was that bad, but Dexter, yeah, exactly. Like Dexter it's like okay, but it ended great, guys. It ended great, you know. Yeah. So,
well, that's so. I'm having a hard time.
New blood.
With new blood, I'm having a hard time telling that 50% of my friends who don't want to watch them, just like, guys, it's actually you should check it out. Bad. It's pretty good, but they're like, I don't want to hear it.
They're too scarred, man.
Yeah. So. I think one of them said, he's like, tell me how it ends. I'm just like, okay, fine. Let's see how it ends. Apparently now it's supposed to end with like a shocking twist. So who knows? I do have one last thing I wanted to say about the original Dexter that I forgot.
Please do.
Fuck Quinn, because he was like the worst fucking character imaginable. For those who don't remember, Quinn was Deb's partner. He was kind of a little bit of a dirty cop, but the guy was such a nothing character, and they gave him so much screen time that it annoyed me so much. It annoyed me so much. Eddie, do you have any final thoughts to say on Dexter New Blood?
I'm actually invested in this one. I really want to see where it goes. I love the whole cabin in the forest, small town. I mean, it's like it almost feels like a small town, but there are moments where it's like, okay, this town is a little bigger than what it appears.
Yeah.
But I definitely like the vibe. And even this tension between you know, the tribes that are there and town people. So seeing a lot of these different elements that can play for fun, misdirection, for possible opportunities for new murders, and for Dexter to be this anti-hero, because at the end of the day, he's all about like getting rid of the son of bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true. Yeah. He's all
and
about
we have
that.
Harrison, who's like this total, like, there are moments it's like, this guy's so effing creepy, and then he's like, oh, he's so cool. But he's like, I'm gonna help the most bullied kid and then stab him.
So spoiler.
Yeah, that was messed spoiler. Up. Yeah.
I will say this, I forgot to mention this, but I actually think the who they cast as Harrison was good casting, because he does look a lot like Michael C. Hall.
And oh, you think so?
I think he looks like he could be the child for Michael C. Hall and Rita.
It's believable. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I buy it.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus he does play like a little bit, I don't know. Like, it's an annoying, honestly, it's a hard role to fill because it's kind of an annoying character, to be honest. But like, he's doing it well enough where I'm just like not hating, because it's a character I could easily hate, being so like distant and like kind of being a dickbag for no reason. I mean, yeah, he's lived a hard life, but like, shut up. You're so fucking annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to talk about, well, no, it just reminds me of a book I read, but I would spoil the book if I brought it up. So just never mind.
Which one? Defending Jacob?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that the one? I want to watch the show. It's so funny. I took out that book from the library. I never even opened it.
You never opened it? Oh,
I
am
the worst. Maybe one day. Maybe, you know, before I watch the show, I want to read it. No, just
watch the show. Yeah, well, I consider it, you know, like a good omen that you at least picked up the book.
Yeah, and got your recommendation from the library, really sold me.
Yeah.
To like take it out from the library, just not see? To crack it open. I returned it. Yeah, I returned it already.
That would have definitely cost you a lot of money. But yeah, so Dexter, New Blood, what did you think? Share with us your thoughts. Excuse me. The way you can share your thoughts with us is by emailing us remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. We are active on social media, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. Our Instagram handle is @remakesrebootsrevivals. Our Twitter handle is @remakespodcast. We are also on YouTube. Just search for Remakes Reboots Revivals and we're called right up. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, as it does really help us. Lastly, if you want your voice to be heard to not only us, but potentially our audience one day, you should call into our number so you can leave us a voicemail. And that number is
862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I'm really excited for next week. This next week is going to be, you know, I'm going to take charge on that one because we're covering a huge property.
What the hell's next
and
week?
And so please stay tuned to next week when we cover West Side Story.
Oh, West Side Story. I can't wait to not like it.
Oh, let's see.
But
let's
am I talking about the original or am I talking about the remake? I don't know.
I hate you. You know what? On that note, stay an original.